The legendary saxophonist, or saxophonist, whichever you prefer, Coleman Randolph Hawkins, playing a tribute to another legend with this rare solo piece. It's entitled Picasso. It was recorded in 1948, and it's a gem. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Monday, October the 20th. We'll talk a little bit of serious stuff, but also, as I primed you last week, I'm here today to ask you to pledge your troth, as it were, to PRN and to Lead Stories, because I want to be able to get this program moving. I mean, really moving. We've got work to do. We have to promote PRN. We have to get it into the broader world. We want people to become more and more familiar with Lead Stories. And these things take a little bit of money. And although, of course, it is not our prime focus here, but we do have to pay attention to some business details. And that is that an operation like PRN has been going literally because Gary Null has been plowing his money into it. And that's fine. But at the same time, we are enlightened people, and we know that nothing is free. Things do cost a bit, and I'm here this week to help the station to say that we should do our part. It's not a huge burden, really. It's not, and it's not meant to be a huge burden. It's not meant to saddle you with some financial debt. But it is to say that we honor our role as well, because we are participants in this effort all together. And whatever it is we can do, let us give evidence that we value what we have, and we are literally putting our money where our ears and eyes and our brains are, you know, that we are making the investment that pays off for us every single day. So two numbers I want you to keep in mind, because I will be keeping tabs, and we have a tally board here that tells me whether the phones are ringing. So while we're talking, take the time to make the phone calls at these two numbers, 877-627-5065. That's 877-627-5065. And 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422. At this point, I'm just simply asking for a goodwill offering that you call in and say, this is my pledge. I'm in support of PRN, but I'm a Lead Stories fanatic, and I will not let another day go without saying, Eutrice, here is evidence that I'm with you. I'm with PRN, and make a pledge. I'm asking for a minimum pledge of $50. Easy. Piece of cake. And if you can do us the great honor of using your credit card, it means that those funds become immediately available to PRN. All right? So make a call, 877-627-5065 or 646-926. Oh, there's the first call coming in right now. That's great. Fantastic. I thank you for that call. Oh, there's another one. Thank you so very much for those calls coming in. 877-627-5065 and 646-926-5422. In this hour, I have a figure in mind. I do not intend to come below it. I believe that we can put our minds to this task today and get this job done. We are lead stories people. We are purposeful people. We don't play. We say what we mean. We mean what we say. All right? So make – oh, thank you so much. For two more calls coming in. Thank you so much. Make those calls. Say, I'm with you, Eutrice. This PRN has got to be in our lives, and here is my pledge of support as a member of the PRN listening audience, but more so as a listener of Lead Stories. We're playing our part to keep PRN going. Okay, great. So now that is done, let's get down to some politics. Today, in Washington, D.C., early voting begins in a very ironic way, because they're voting for a number of offices, delegate to the U.S. House of Representatives among them, mayor, chairman of the D.C. City Council, two at-large council member seats. The whole city council is up for election. And two very extraordinary seats are being run for, and that's shadow U.S. Senator and shadow U.S. Representative. Doesn't that sound odd to you? Yes, it does. And why? Because Washington, D.C. is not a congressional district. In fact, it's a district. It's the only district in the country. And it has no voting power in Congress. It has no representation in Congress to speak of. Sure, we have Eleanor Holmes Norton, who is a delegate, but the delegate gets to vote only within committees. The delegate does not get to vote on anything that comes up on the floor. So technically, not technically, really, Washington, D.C., the seat of the nation's capital, the seat of democracy, if you will, has no democracy. And yet, early voting starts. Bring your souls to the polls and vote for no representation whatsoever in Congress. And it's worse than that. The people of Washington, D.C., apart from having absolutely no representation in Congress, Congress is fully in charge of Washington, D.C., even though the people are going to elect a city council and elect members at large and elect the head of the city council and doing all of this electing. Congress literally has veto power and utter and complete control, including over the mayor, whose job is up for election today. 100% power and control. Now, that is kind of odd, isn't it? And it's very ironic. How do we have a district that is in a kind of no man's land? It is not a congressional district. It's not in a Senate district. It's not part of any particular state. And yet one of the offices up for election today is its state attorney general. Yes, they're electing for the first time today. The voting starts today, early voting. But for the first time in Washington, D.C. history, one of the offices that are being vied for is state attorney general. But Washington, D.C. is not a state. So this is a quagmire, or to quote Churchill here, it's an enigma wrapped in a puzzle, wrapped in a mystery. What the heck is Washington, D.C.? It has no representation in Congress. It has a state official as of this election in 2014, but it's not a state. Well, people say Washington, D.C. is too small to be a state. Why should it be a state? Well, it may be small in terms of geography, but Washington, D.C. does have a pretty sizable population, and its population is larger than at least two states. Its population is larger than Wyoming. Its population is larger than, I believe, a New England state. I forgot which one it was, but Vermont. So it has a population larger than two states, and yet Congress says it does not qualify to be a state. And yet it is electing a state attorney general. And yet it has no representation in Congress at all. So the question is, why does this continue? What is Washington, why is Washington, D.C. this example being made of taxation, in a way, without representation? Is this fair? Is it fair that 600 and almost 700,000 people are without proper representation in Congress? Is it fair that they are electing local government, a local government, or trying to constitute a local government, but that government actually can be vetoed at any time, and the entire district is under the control of Congress? Congress determines what happens in Washington, D.C., but it has no representation in Congress. This is insane. And yet, you know, soldiers are being sent abroad to fight for democracy, to establish democracy in other lands. Right there in the shadow of Lincoln, in the shadow of the White House, in the shadow of the U.S. Senate, in the shadow of the House of Representatives, close to 700,000 people are basically engaging in an exercise of tremendous irony and actually a kind of contempt, self-contempt, because they are voting and they have little or, if any, direct control over their own turf. That is sad. So I wanted to talk about that. Am I hearing the phones? Let's check on how the phones are going. Are they? Yes, thank you very much. 877-627-5065 is the number to call. I want you to call in, please, today and say, Utrice, I'm with Lead Stories and PRN, and here's my minimum $50 pledge to you and to say that we endorse PRN.FM as our chosen or selected, very, very selected avenue of information every single day. And we are paying our part in keeping it going. I really appreciate those calls at 877-627-5065 or 646-926-5422. A bizarre and almost, it's disgusting, actually, what is going on. The Reverend Al Sharpton has surfaced again in a last-ditch effort to bring souls to the polls. Him and a whole batch of, you know, ministers are being sent out to the black community. A listener of Lead Stories, Tom Cardone, sent me this clip, and it was very useful. It was a story that appeared in the New York Times on the 18th, that's Saturday. It is headlined, Black Vote Seen as Last Hope for Democrats to Hold the Senate. I repeat the headline, Black Vote Seen as Last Hope for Democrats to Hold the Senate. And it starts like this. The confidential memo from a former pollster for President Obama contained a blunt warning for Democrats. Written this month with an eye toward Election Day, it predicted, quote, crushing Democratic losses across the country, unquote, if the party did not do more to get black voters to the polls. Quote, African American surge voters came out in force in 2008 and 2012, but they are not well positioned to do so again in 2014, Cornell Belcher, the pollster, wrote in the memo dated October the 1st. Quote, in fact, over half aren't even sure when the midterm elections are taking place, unquote. Mr. Belcher's assessments point to an urgent imperative for Democrats to keep Republicans from taking control of the Senate, as many are predicting. They need black voters in at least four key states. Yet the one politician guaranteed to generate enthusiasm among African Americans is the same man many Democratic candidates want to avoid, Mr. Obama. Now Democrats are deploying other prominent black elected officials and other surrogates, buttressed by sophisticated voter targeting efforts to stoke black turnout. At the White House, The president is waging an under-the-radar campaign, recording video advertisements, radio interviews, and telephone calls specifically targeting his loyal African-American base. Quote, anybody who looks at the data realizes that if the black vote and the brown vote doesn't turn out, we can't win. It's just that simple, said Representative Marsha L. Fudge of Ohio, the chairwoman of the Congressional Black Caucus, referring to African-American and Latino voters. Quote, if we don't turn out, we cannot hold the Senate, unquote. Well, this is not new. We've been talking about this for a long, long time. The key vote, blacks have the key to victory for the Democrats in many, many races and in many states. And that is why we talk all the time about this notion about voting and the value of the vote and the strategic use of the vote. Of course, it will determine whether the U.S. Democrats are able to hold on to the U.S. Senate. They can't in the House. They've already lost the House and are likely to lose it again to the Republican control. But here is the problem. We have these folks turning to the black community, which they routinely ignore all the time between elections. They don't bother with the black vote at all. The black vote is simply a means toward an end, as far as the Democratic Party is concerned. Just show up, flick the lever that says Democrat, and be on your way. We'll talk to you probably another 2 years, maybe four, or if ever. But we'll talk to you when we need you. Until then, get lost. We don't need you. We don't need to see you. We don't need to hear about your problems and your priorities. You are not a main agenda item for us. You're simply a means toward an end, and the end is victory. So what do? They hire people like Sharpton and other elected officials and big-time, high-profile ministers with congregations numbering in the hundreds and thousands, and they send them out. You go out there and get your people in line, bring the souls to the polls. And we talked about that, right? We talked about souls to the polls. It's a pimping of the black church, and it's a contemptuous pimping of the black church at that. And so what does Sharpton do? Sharpton is running around now, and he's even for Sharpton, this is low. This is a real true low. The true low is he is now invoking the death, the police deaths, killings of Michael Brown and of Eric Garner, Michael Brown in Ferguson and Eric Garner, the chokehold case in Staten Island, New York, and telling black people that if they voted Democrat, it would basically end police brutality. This is his mission now. He's in the case of Michael Brown, he's referencing and he's come up with a kind of gig, a new kick to his Souls to the Polls campaign, which is hands up. You know, we're going to do this thing and we're going to have our hands up for Michael Brown, and we take our hands up to the poll. You know, this is so insulting. This is so debasing. It is so garish and disgusting that this is what it is to basically predicate a hack job for the Democrats. You put your foot on the corpse of a young man. You know, you haven't even delivered the minimum of justice. You haven't even done the minimum to honor this person by seeing to it that you do the basic things. Even those things had to be attended to and done by others. And I maintain, just so everybody's clear, it is the American Civil Liberties Union that has been doing the work in Ferguson. Anybody wants to challenge me on that could step forward. The lawyers for the family, the Sharpton-appointed lawyers for the family didn't even file the first piece of paperwork to find out who the police officer was. That was the ACLU. The lawyers for the family haven't even bothered to find out who's still in jail as a result of the protests. That is the ACLU. So when the facts are looked at, you see that essentially the people who are coming to the community and mining it and pimping it over and over again to satisfy their own private agendas, they're not above using the dead in this disgusting way to feed the Democratic Party. It is the Democratic Party that wouldn't appoint a special prosecutor. It's the Democratic governor that wouldn't appoint a special prosecutor. It is the Democratic prosecutors who are taking these cases down the wrong path so that the police officers can walk. It's the Democratic Party that has refused to recognize these cases as being a very important thing to pay attention to. They haven't done it. And here come these marauders, these salesmen bloviating with their cameras running and the media hype and all of that stuff. They come into town and they leave the people just the way they found them, or perhaps even worse. Because they have done absolutely nothing, nothing in Ferguson nor in Staten Island to advance the cause of justice. So we need to be really clear about that. It is disgusting. And they ought to be condemned for that. And you know, it's funny, because he's at least being consistent in a way. You have to give him credit, because the same lack of enthusiasm Sharpton shows in confronting the system and his lawyers show in confronting the system in behalf of the victims of these police killings, Michael Brown in Ferguson and Eric Garner in Staten Island, is the same contempt he's showing now even for the woman in his own organization who has alleged that she was sexually assaulted by his own lawyer. He hasn't insisted on his arrest yet. He hasn't insisted that the man be charged. He hasn't filed a complaint with the lawyers' committee, the review committee, the judicial committee, to suspend this lawyer immediately until these charges are resolved. He hasn't done it. He's consistent. He's absolutely consistent. But it needs to be said, and it needs to be noted. So when they come into town looking for souls for the polls, understand they don't have any interest in your progress or in your well-being or in your benefit. They're simply fulfilling a private contract for which they probably are getting paid extremely well. And they are not above the same kind of contempt that they condemn, which is to use and abuse the black community this way, to pimp it. Well, they may be pimps, but the black community should not act as if they are pimpable. All right? That said, let's go back to business. We'll take this break now, and we will concentrate on the business here of supporting PRN.FM. How are we doing with calls? We're doing calls very, very well. I thank you very much. I see those calls coming in. 877-627-5065. By the end of this program today, I have in mind that we should at least reach a good, I'd say $15,000. I would like to see that on the board. 877-627-5065. I'm asking you to make a pledge, a minimum pledge of $50 today, to say that you value PRN.FM, you value lead stories on PRN.FM, and therefore you see it as part of your obligation to keep this avenue of information available to you each and every day, because it fulfills a great purpose in your life. 646-926-5422. Thank you. 646-926-5422 is the other number to call. So you have two numbers to call. 877-627-5065. If that number is busy, it's all right. Try this other one. 646-926-5422. I'm so excited. I'm very joyful. And I want you to be joyful, too, that this is an opportunity for you to fulfill a wonderful mission. And it doesn't cost a lot. Your contribution today will keep this radio station going and will give Gary Null a boost that we affirm the work he has been doing for more than 30 years. I've known Gary for more than 20 of those 30, but he has been remarkably consistent about this thing, about providing information that people can use to improve their lives and to make sense of the universe that surrounds us. 877-627-5065. Do you love PRN? Let me hear you. Let me hear you. Do you love lead stories? Do you really love lead stories? 877-627-5065 or 646-926-5422. My goal is 10,000. Let's get it done. It's a piece of cake. Easy for us to do. We are lead stories people. We like challenges. We dispose of challenges like this with the flick of a wrist. No problem. So I'm asking you to please consider making a donation of at least 50. If you can't do 50, it is fine. It's all right. But do something to say, I'm playing my part. That's what I want to see. Evidence that you feel an obligation to support it in whatever way you can. If you can do 50 or more, all the more blessings to you. But whatever you give, I know you are giving from your heart. I know you are giving with a good spirit. And I know you are giving with the intention of supporting a very valued avenue of information. And that's why I'm here. I'm here. Gary did not ask me to come here. I came here and I said, I'm showing up because I find it is time for us to step forward as activists and take responsibility for the thing that we treasure, or we say we treasure, and step forward and say, I have played my part in assuring or helping to assure the continuation of this avenue of information. And that's a responsibility. That's a grown-up responsibility that activists have to assume. We must assume responsibility not only for the continuity of it, but in supporting it, we are protecting it and we value it. So I am saying this is my personal pledge to Gary Null personally, that I value the work that he has been doing. I value the sacrifice that he has been making all these years to keep this avenue of information open to all, and doing so, with a smile. He has never complained. He's never made a big deal of it. But it is time. We can't assume that this is the order of the day and this is the way it ought to work. We have to help lift the load. And thank you. Thank you for that call. Thank you so much. Thank you. Those calls are coming in. I appreciate it because I have in mind that we must reach this goal today. 877-627-5065. We have people answering the phones, but if they should be busy, try the alternative number, 646-926-5422. You would notice that even though, of course, we could use the resources here ourselves, Gary's helping WBAI raise funds to keep it alive. Because with all things being said, people are depending on these alternative sources of information. And that's the largest objective, because the mainstream media are not going to accommodate this kind of discussion or this kind of knowledge being shared. So, I mean, even so, he's looking beyond his own. And I'm saying, let's start taking care of the home base. Let's begin to allocate the resources right here and build this station, PRN. If you're with me, you'll be on the line. 877-627-5065. If that's busy, 646-926-5422. I want to touch on what's going on in Ferguson a little bit. And the news reports are saying, well, people are tense in Ferguson. No kidding. And they're tense because they're waiting anxiously for the verdict to come in the Michael Brown case. You will recall that, of course, Michael Brown was shot and killed by police officer Darren Wilson on August the 9th. By August the 20th, the local prosecuting attorney miraculously decided that he was going to convene a grand jury. We don't know what kind of grand jury it is, but he convened a grand jury, three members of which are African American, nine of whom are white. And they're looking into this case. And they began hearing testimony as of August the 20th, we are told. We've seen that there have been leaks from this jury, and it, too, has come under investigation. The leaks are suggesting that the jurors do not think that they have been given enough information to indict the officer, and this is why everybody's pretty much tense. The jury had been given two separate extensions all the way past November, the November election date, very conveniently, because the prosecuting attorney is up for re-election. So whether the indictment comes before the election or after the election, my guess is it would be more than likely after, because he does not want to short-circuit his political career. But these questions, the function of this grand jury, we covered that, but the fact that this case has taken this turn, the police officer reportedly has appeared for 4 hours before this grand jury, and that is disturbing, as I had discussed in previous programs. It's disturbing because it suggests that the police officer had a certain level of comfort about not being a target of prosecution. There's no way a police officer who considers himself as a likely target of prosecution would allow himself to appear before a grand jury or would have a competent legal counsel that would okay such a thing. The only reason that the police officer would have appeared before the grand jury for 4 hours is that he was reasonably assured that he had nothing to worry about in terms of prosecution. But in any event, as Attorney Maddox had walked us through, no matter how the case turns now, whether there's an indictment or no indictment, the police officer has enjoyed and will continue to enjoy immunity. See, this is how they fix these cases. The police officer may enjoy what is known as transactional immunity, which means that because he appeared voluntarily before the grand jury, and he may be asked questions in a leading way by the prosecutor about certain things relating to the event itself, the fatality of the killing, I should say, of Michael Brown, he cannot, by reason of transactional immunity, be prosecuted on the basis of his testimony. So in other words, he, after this testimony, no matter how the case turns out, whether he's to be retried or whether the grand jury has to reconvene and they came up with a decision that they just could not find the wherewithal to indict him, in an ensuing convening of a grand jury, he will be immune for anything that he testified to while under this current grand jury. Or whether he is going to enjoy use immunity, and that is whether the testimony he gave with respect to the incident itself, which is, of course, at the heart of the matter, whether he was granted use immunity, which is the same kind of thing, he will enjoy immunity from any future prosecutions. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be prosecuted, but the testimony he gave before the grand jury, he will have some measure of immunity for that testimony. And that is a strategic advantage of the officer appearing before the grand jury. These are the ways in which the system works to give police officers a lot of elastic so they can wiggle out of any culpability. So that is the big story here. It's not whether he gets indicted or not. It's that he has already been immunized from future prosecutions by virtue of his appearance before the grand jury. And the question is, why was he called? This grand jury was used as a regular trial jury in that event, because what the prosecutor seems to be doing is using the grand jury to determine innocence or guilt, culpability or not. And that's not the job of a grand jury. That's the job of a trial jury. A grand jury is only to decide, did a serious crime occur? And it looks like it did, because the authorities who are in charge of determining serious crimes have determined a serious crime has, in fact, occurred. Can it be said that the person being considered for charges is linked to the crime? That's the job of the grand jury to decide whether the officer is linked to the crime. Yes. And then the jury should decide on the merits, or whether the request by the prosecutor to ask the grand jury to indict on specific charges, whether the grand jury agrees that there is sufficient evidence to link the police officer to the crime on these particular counts, and then they will vote. Now, the question is, did the prosecutor ask for an indictment on charges, or did the prosecutor essentially conduct a departmental hearing? See, all these things are going on. And, by the way, without comment and without observation and without monitoring by the family's lawyers, they have not yet objected to anything going on with this grand jury. Except we will hear the compulsory statements, the empty statements. Oh, we oppose if they come up with no true bill, and if the grand jury says, well, we can't find a reason to indict, the lawyers are going to say, well, we object. Big deal. You didn't do the work. You're not interested in justice. So don't start fooling the people. And that, my friends, is why we have to pay attention to this case, because when the decision comes from the grand jury, we will know a little bit more, a lot more, hopefully, as to what happened within that grand jury process and the role of the prosecutor in the outcome of the grand jury's decision, whether the prosecutor actually was a shill, whether he was in the process of making it look like he was interested in charging the police officer, who, by the way, still has not been charged, although there's clearly probable cause to charge him. But we will learn a lot more about the role of the prosecutor in the decision of the grand jury, no matter how it turns out. But bear in mind that the principal benefit so far has gone to the police officer. He has enjoyed immunity by virtue of being called before the grand jury and being, quote, cooperative, unquote, with it, which is to say he was operating under the guidelines and the agreed upon focus of the questioning by the prosecutor, so as to have him basically expunged of any possible charge, criminal liability. All right. A little bit of business and we're out of here. 877. Thank you. You know the deal. We need to see those calls coming in. 877-627-5065. I want to know that you are with Lead Stories and PRN, and that you're taking your role seriously as an activist. You are being active in supporting this program and supporting PRN. 877-627-5065. If it's busy, 646-926-5422. I'm asking you just to say, I am proud to be an active supporter of PRN and Lead Stories, and I'm making a pledge today of $50 or more, or whatever I can, to just make it clear that I am not a passive person. I am actively involved in supporting this wonderful, wonderful avenue of information that I come to every day to find out what's really happening in the world. 877-627. Thank you. Thank you for those calls. 877-627-5065. We have people waiting to help you, but the traffic may be a little heavy because you may be so enthusiastic. Many people are calling at the same time. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. 646-926-5422. I am here of my own volition. I am here to make it clear that we cannot just sit by and watch Gary Null carry the full financial load of this station by himself and plow his resources into it day after day and basically doing so sacrificially. He doesn't complain, but it's time for us to recognize that we have a duty. We have an obligation. This is what we depend on. This is what we should support. And it's not a huge amount of money we're asking, really. And I do understand that times are very tough. I do. So I'm saying if you can afford to do 50 or more, please do that. And sometimes if you give a little more, you make up for those people who may not be in a position to give that freely. But whatever you can, use your credit card if you can. That helps a lot because it makes the resources immediately available. And there are lots of things that we have to do here. As I came in and saw the studio, we have little upgrades to make things even more fascinating and more technically savvy for you. There are lots of things that need to be done, and they all cost money. And we can't say, well, it's Gary Null's station, so let him fix it. No. We can't do that. That is irresponsible. So let's mature a little bit into our roles as activists and give evidence that we really understand the meaning of the word. We are actively involved. This is ours. Let's act like it's ours. Thank you. And thank you. And thank you. 877-627-5065. I want you to give with a good heart. I want you to give with joy. I want you to give with enthusiasm because this is your station. This is our station. And we need to protect it. We need to surround it. We need to affirm it. We need to put it on firm footing. And we need to say to Gary Null, I'm making this point very clearly, we need to say to Gary Null by our enthusiastic response, we value you and we appreciate your sacrificial donation, if you will, to our lives every single day. You don't complain, you don't ask, you don't put out there that you can use some help. It's time for us to step forward. Don't wait to be asked. Let's go. Lead people. Lead Stories people. You know, I think you're the absolute best. You know that. I boast about Lead Stories folks. Lead Stories people are a very interesting group. We love challenges. And we don't take them lightly. So when we are called into action, we respond. And so I'm thank you. Thank you so much. 877-627-5065 or 646-926-5422. This is my week to make a difference right here at PRN and for all of us to really enjoy the privilege, really, the privilege of saying, I am partaking as an active person, as a serious and committed person. I am partaking of a process that actually helps me in my daily life. And that is the flow of information that I cannot and will not get elsewhere. And it's for a very small amount of money. And I appreciate that we are all under great strain. So if you are in a position to give a little more generously, it helps, and it will counter those who are not in a position to give as generously. Thank you so much for your consideration. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your caring. And thank you so much for your activism and your enthusiasm and your support and your love for this station. Let's deal with that. That's what this is. Do you love PRN? Then we need to see the testimony. I don't want to hear you tell me, yeah, oh, I just love your program. Well, I don't know. Let me check the list. Let's see if you're on the I love the PRN list. Okay, let's see if you're on that list. Are you on that list? Okay. Well, I'll be giving a talk here on Saturday, and I am hoping that I would be surrounded by people like you who understand the value of this station, and that we will be together as a team building and building and building and getting this station more and more known. But I want this to be a tribute to Gary Null. Let's make this a testimony of our love for him, his foresight, his vision, his dedication, his generosity, and his sacrifice. Do not let this man carry this burden alone, and do not be silent at this moment, at this hour. This is not the time to sit back. This is time to say, I have $10 I can give you. Here's my $10, and I'm in the mix. I am one of the people who are stepping forward and saying, it's time to surround PRN with my pledge of faith. And here we go. If you can make a pledge of about $50 or more if you can, I urge you to do so. I'm not asking you to do it in exchange for anything other than you value what you get here. And you value this as a place you can come to every day for sustenance, for intellectual stimulation, for knowledge that you will not get anyplace else, from the breadth of people who are here to offer it to you. But I wanted also to say, as a gift, if you will, testimony, and I know he would love it. I know he would appreciate it greatly to see that the listeners are returning to him some modicum of what he has given for more than 30 years, which is purely out of his generosity. That is a wonderful gift, a wonderful gift. Just last night, it happened to me. I was invited to a home, and it was just supposed to be a social gathering, and it almost brought me to tears. All these people showing up to surround me and to say, we value what you do. This is incredible. I can't begin to tell you. I can't even find the words to tell you what it does, how it feels to have that manifested back onto you and to have that validation of the work that you're trying to do and making an effort to contribute to the world. So let's do that for this station. There are people who work here every single day. And they have options, but they choose to work here because this work has meaning to them. So let's validate them too, and validate yourself as a person of conscience, a person who is, thank you so much. We have lots of calls coming in. I really appreciate that. And even after I go off the air, keep these two numbers in mind. 877-627-5065 or 646-926-5422. As you know, in all the time that I've been on, I've never done a fundraising like this. And it is, I used to enjoy doing this at BAI. I was one of the best, okay? Because I love it. I love the idea of helping something worthwhile to exist, to continue to exist. But this is a precious resource. And we need to show evidence that we recognize that and that we recognize our duty. I'm going to use that heavy-duty word, duty. Our duty, our obligation to keep it going. And we also, by doing so, we say to the person who had the vision to start it all that you were right. You made the great call. You made very good judgment in putting this together because you're bringing the entire world, people from all over the world, are sharing this information, and you've created a global community because you had a vision. 877-627-5065. I'm about to leave you in a couple of minutes. Thank you so much for those calls. Thank you. I appreciate them. 877-627-5065 or 646-926-5422. We've come to the end of the program. And as always, more so today, I mean it, a pleasure and the greatest of privileges to be in your esteemed, wonderful, activist, joyful company. Bye-bye.